then, welcome back to another episode of Heavy Matters Podcast. It's me, Joey. I'm fresh back off the plane from Australia, re-energized and ready to talk three albums with my good friend, Venny. How are you, mate? I've missed you.
Oh, I missed you too. I'm glad you had a good time down under. And it sounds like you're re-energized and raring to go for some more Heavy Matters business, which is good.
Yeah, had nice opportunity to sit down and engorge in some albums while I was away, and sitting in the sun. So we're doing three albums today, and we are covering two retrospective albums from Coffin Storm and Folterkammer, and we're also going to be covering Thought, which is out on Pelagic Records. No guess who chose that album to go into the show. But I'm just going to quickly throw over my time in Oz in terms of gigs. I went to see Carcass in Perth in a lovely venue, and there's not much really you can say about Carcass. They're pretty untouchable in the scene. They're pretty much the godfathers of this mellow death metal, whatever you want to call it. It was just lovely to see. And sort of being in Australia and seeing an English band playing, there was a bit of like a, you know, an emotional sort of connection as well. They played every track you'd want. It was full of the classics, and I'm pretty sure it's nearly sold out, the whole venue. So I had a couple of schooners while watching them, which was delightful. And then I flew over to Sydney to see my mate Mark from the band Orr, who I saw on the Saturday. But just so happened that on the Friday night, We Lost the Sea were playing in Sydney. Now, I love the art of We Lost the Sea, and I think you were pretty much with me on that. So I was very excited about seeing them live. And let me tell you, they are one of the best live bands I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
They were so unbelievably tight. Now, you know, their songs are very, you know, they're long, dynamics in them, and the tempo change and stuff. And they had a new drummer as well. But my God, they were just on fire. And they had a couple of new songs in there, which went down the storm. It was packed, absolutely packed. And like I said, just one of the best live bands I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, brilliant. And then I went to see Orr by Mark, the drummer from Orr, who I stayed with. Thank you, Mark. And they were supported by Yano Mamo, who I've interviewed on the show before, and Master Leonard. And it was a three band bill in a place called The Duke. It was a free entry, great little bar, lovely stage, and just all lovely to see three local bands absolutely destroying the stage. They had great people out there, great support. And it was just nice to sit there and have a few beers and just relax and connect with someone who I interviewed 2-3 years ago on the show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Lovely.
It's nice that you've kept that little rapport going and relationship. So yeah, it's really nice. Yeah,
very nice. So yeah, that was my Perth, Australia gig experience. So let's go into the first album review, and it is by Coffin Storm. The album's called Arcana Rising. It came out on the 29th of March on Peaceful Records, and it features Fenris on vocals, famously of Dark Throne, Apollyon, who is in Aura Noir, Lamented Souls, and he was also in Immortal, and Bestial Tormentor, who is in Inferno and Lamented Souls. Also, this is their debut album, and it will come as no surprise that probably this band will not be touring live due to Fenris not liking touring, such as Dark Throne. Busy boy Fenris, isn't he? With a new Dark Throne album coming out as well, and this. So this is my choice, mate. Coffin Storm, no surprise. And like, both of us went into this with no expectations because there was no previous records to go by. So what were your expectations coming into this when you saw like Fenris on vocals and then being from Norway? What were your thoughts before you hit play?
Yeah, like you say, he is a very busy man. He's very prolific, and we've certainly covered a fair bit of his work, even in the short time we've been doing the show. Often you think of Dark Throne and you think of Norwegian bands with that black metal heritage, and you think it's going to be extreme. You think it's going to be really heavy. You think it's going to be really fast. You think it's going to be really kind of scratchy in terms of production and everything else. However, what has become clear to me, mostly from reviewing the last few Dark Throne releases and everything else, is that there is often a lot more to it. And clearly, they harken back to a certain era of metal in the 80s and certainly the 90s. And there's always a lot more traditional metal that is kind of foisted on these releases. And that's much more of a cornerstone of these albums, and this album is no exception to that. And so, whilst you may be going and expecting extremity, I think there is a lot more traditional kind of heavy metal influences on this.
Yeah, very well put. I would say this album is, we talk about genres and pigeonholing bands. I would put this just as a pure heavy metal album with some doom slash thrash influences throughout. And I think, like you said, we have all these bands from Norway, and you see Fenres and Dark Throne. They've obviously changed their style from the sort of Blaze in the Northern Sky. And I didn't really know what to expect from this, if I'm being honest. And so it was nice to go in with a clean palette and just absorb it all. And I think a couple of things that stand out for me, one, which you touched on, is the production. And, notoriously, I'm a big fan of that, very raw production. What they've done nicely here on this album is they've sort of met it halfway. They've still got this sort of, it's not raw, but it's not polished, if you know what I mean. It really encapsulates that 80s metal sound. And that was a real pleaser for me. And secondly, excuse me, we talk about bands progressing and, bands, and we'll talk about Thought in a minute and Pelagic Records and all these bands. But what they've done on this album is they've actually really gone backwards and really taken that 80s sound and really captured it brilliantly. And just made a pure metal album. They haven't got any bells and whistles going on. It's just, bass, drums, guitar, and vocals. And sorry, go on.
No, I mean, just to pick up on a couple of those two points that you've made. Production wise, yeah, I'd agree within exactly what you've said. And actually, of those initial impressions or pre-expectations of coming into the record, I think that was the only one that was really it lives up to, and that production is as you would kind of expect. I read somewhere in some of the promos that they used a couple of drum mics to record Fenris's vocals, and
Nice.
I can definitely believe that. And I think you're right in terms of their sounds. They're clearly of an age. And they grew up in that period in the 80s, and they've clearly got a lot of love for that music. And what's nice is they're just playing what they want to play. They're at a stage in their careers where they don't need to do anything or prove anything, and they're just playing the music they really want to play. And I think that comes through. And some of the bands that I kind of think of are things like Candlemass, of that kind of 80s, or even a bit Cathedral, that kind of 80s doomy, but yet quite heavy and traditional inflection. So yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, it's not a I very valid points in the doom side, but it's certainly not when we talk about, that one riff just repeat and repeating. There is a lot of dynamics in this album, and there are some fantastic riffs on this album, and one of them is a song called "Open the Gallows," I think it's called. Yeah, it's got this lovely little riff in there, which is really hooky. I want to touch on Fenris's vocals, Benny, because obviously in Dark Throne he's a drummer. He does do some vocals here and there. But what were your thoughts? When I first heard it, my initial thoughts was very sort of leaning King Diamond-ish with the higher pitches. What was your take on his vocals?
Yeah, they're quite so they're quite clean, they're quite grandiose. when you think of King Diamond, you think of really quite high pitched vocals, but and this is a lower register, but I know what you mean by that for sure. Again, relying a little bit on the press notes, there was something about a band that you might know of called Isengard, where I don't
Yeah.
know if Fenriz has done more vocals and maybe they're more akin to that. But yeah, again, it goes to that kind of more doomier traditional metal. They also talk about having some kind of slow thrash influences on there, of kind of again 80s thrash. So yeah, they're not kind of grunting and growling black metal vocals by any stretch. They're much grander.
Yeah, agreed. I was really at first I was taken aback by the vocals and was like, is this gonna work? But as I actually got through the album, listened to it a few times, they're really growing me. I think this is a really good album, a really good heavy metal album that, like you said, sure, they don't need to do. But I'm delighted that it's out there now. I haven't heard a lot of noise on it, to be honest, on socials or anything like that. We have an interview on Sunday with the band, which I'm looking forward to. But yeah, it's just a really, really good, enjoyable album that is not going to offend anyone. I think if, sort of take metalheads who grew up around the 70s and 80s and that older generation, sort of 50, 60-year-olds, I think they'll really enjoy this album.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, is this kind of style your cup of tea particularly? Would you, I mean, in a way, when I saw it and I saw the kind of people involved, it didn't surprise me that you wanted to cover it. But then when I was listening to it, I was like, no, it's not necessarily Joey's kind of thing. So that's why I was quite interested to hear what you had to say about it today. And I mean, I knew you're going to be broadly positive, otherwise you wouldn't have brought it on. But
Yeah.
yeah, is it your kind of thing or?
It's a brilliant question, mate, because like Candlemass, I wouldn't really listen too much, like I know of them, but I never certainly would go, oh, let's have a Candlemass discography. But I think obviously the members of this band have drawn me to it, they intrigue me. But I really have enjoyed this, and it will certainly be coming an album that I'll be coming back to lots and lots.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I will go first on this one, mate, because it's my pick. I'm going to go with a very strong 8.3 on this album. It's honestly, for all the points I've said, it's just a really enjoyable album, not offensive, and I will be revisiting this for sure.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I don't think I've probably listen to it as many times as you, and it might be something that would grow on me a little bit more. I've gone for 1 point less than that, so I had 7.3. And again, it's not necessarily something that I would reach for, as in this style. But yeah, I was, yeah, it wasn't what we were expecting, and yeah, great to hear that.
Very good, very good. So that's Coffin Storm, Arcana Rising, and it's out now. Highly recommend you give that a little listen. Now, the next album is by a band called Thought. The album's called Delta, and it's out on the 10th of May, 2024, on Pelagic Records. This has been a Venny pick. I think you have listened to nothing but Pelagic Records this year. When I was driving back from the gym today, I was thinking, and I was listening to this album, I was thinking, this is possibly the most left field album that you've put towards me on this show. I couldn't think of anything else that was like this sort of style or as left field. But anyway, let's crack on. So, but you picked this one, mate. Thought, have you heard of them before? Have you, what drew you to them?
No, again, I've said on the show a couple of times already this year that I mean, Pelagic is at the moment my go-to. You've alluded to it. I mean, I'll make no secrets about that. And so I'm genuinely interested in everything that they've been releasing. And whilst it's been drip-fed each release, I've just put them on just to see. And I think we've again said this before, they're quite a diverse label in that they're not just a death metal label that just releases death metal. So I think whatever your mood, you can reach for an album that they release, and it might scratch an itch. And so yeah, I had no particular preconceptions about Thought. I've again seen them on bills and whatnot, and yeah, I was interested to give it a go.
Yeah, so my question then is you just put it on and you didn't know the band, you just put it on because it was a Pelagic record release and you obviously listened to the first track or maybe the whole album all the way through. What grabbed you on this? So just to let everyone know, very post rock, post electronic rock, something like that.
It's, I mean, I think the reason you have this slightly kind of bemused tone to you already, it is pretty unique, this record, and it's for that reason it's quite hard to describe. I mean, thought they're French, and there is definitely a kind of, without wanting to conjure up too many stereotypes, there's this kind of French or continental kind of artistic slant to it. It's quite arty, if that makes sense. And I know that's not necessarily describing the music, but more the kind of vibe of the record, so to speak. And yeah, post rock, it's got quite a lot of kind of synth, electronic, bit of industrial, quite poppy at times, bit jazzy at times. But yeah, it's pretty it throws quite a lot at the canvas, I think it's fair to say.
Very much so. This was another challenging listen for me, and I didn't really get it, to be honest, at the start. But as I listened to it more, I could. It really is an album you need to live with for a fair bit of time. It's not going to get you the first listen. There were times on it where it reminded me a bit like Bjork, those sort of poppy tinges. But there are some heavy bits in there. So like the industrial parts you were saying, there's a lot going on. And I'll leave it there because I'm gonna ask for your take on it, mate. What you got from the album?
Yeah, again, at this stage, when you stick something on and you find something that's genuinely quite unique and different, it does pique your interest a little bit more. And we listen to a fair bit of music to cover the show and whatever else. So when you do find a bit more of a unique proposition, it does kind of lure you in. I'm going to throw a couple of bands that I don't think they
Please.
necessarily sound like, but they do kind of conjure a similar, as I say, a similar slightly chaotic vibe. But Igor, another French band, but again, they don't really sound like them, but there's something about them that kind of feeling and that kind of the bringing in of all the different
Is
influences.
it the vocals on that, mate? The
But
eagle, the female vocals.
yeah, the female vocals, potentially a bit of that, and the kind of industrialness and the jazziness to it as well. And also, I found Igor to be quite an arty kind of
Yes,
proposition
of
at
course.
time. The Crown, another Pelagic record,
Oh.
and the French band, but that kind of, again, don't really sound like them, but that synthiness, that electronic feel, that kind of late 80s synthy Depeche Modey kind of feel, there's a bit of that on this record. But yeah, what drew me in, I think, was a lot of the vocals. That they've got kind of male vocalists, female vocalists, they kind of share vocal duties. Some of the tracks, like the third track, Sleep Oddity, is this very smooth kind of synthy, really quite beautiful vocal. A lot of it's in French, the vocals, but this track it's in English, and that's got a really nice kind of post build to it on the track. And track six, called Hudson, is a bit more
Oh.
synthy, it's a bit poppier, but again, the female vocal is really strong on that, and that's got kind of it gets a bit darker towards the end of the track. So those are the kind of things that kind of drew me into the record, I would say.
Can I just stop you there on that track six? Hoosian? Don't know how to pronounce it. That one today made this album click with me. I was listening to it at the gym and I put it and something about it happened. It's almost like an anthem, like the anthem track of the album. It's so grandiose at times, and I just put it on repeat a couple of times, and I was like, "Yeah, okay, now I get this album." And I think They put that track perfectly in the album, perfectly, like, sort of sandwiched in the middle of the rest of them. That is, what are we now? April is probably my song of the year so far.
Wow,
Yeah,
gosh,
it's
I'm
so nice.
surprised. I'm delighted, though.
Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the other things that I like about it, again, it does meander along a little bit, kind of goes from quite smoothy, lounge, jazzy bits, and then it kind of can pick up the pace to a bit of a punkier, almost post-hardcore-y style. Certainly the drum beats to it at points can be pretty catchy at times. And yeah, I very much don't think this is an album for everyone.
No.
I think, like you say, it might be a bit jarring the first time you put it on, but I think if you live with it for a little while, there's a lot you'd get back from it. And yeah, as I say, something that's really different, something really interesting. I think they're playing ArcTangent this year, and I'd be
Oh.
really interested to see them live to see
Yeah.
how this kind of comes across. And it could come across quite chaotic and quite muddy and
Yeah.
quite badly, but if they hit this right, I think it could be quite an experience live.
I did wonder if they were playing ArcTangent because it's t a typical ArcTangent band. I agree with your, it's not for everyone, and it's certainly an album you couldn't put on with a group of people while having a few beers, I don't think. It's not like putting a Machine Head album on and just like being able to chat over it, and that it's very much an album that I think you need to listen to on your own in Salad, and you really need to just close your mind of everything and try and. I 100% agree, it's not for everyone. And very much looking forward to seeing how they pull this off live because, like you said, there is a lot going on. So, yeah, Benny, this was your pick, mate. So, I'm going to fire it over to you.
Yeah, I've gone 7.9 for this. So I think it'd be
Okay.
really, really intriguing bit of work, really intriguing album. That, as I say, it's just a bit different. It just sticks out there a little bit, and yeah, it's something that really caught my attention. So yeah, and the other thing to say is I wasn't 100% sure how it would go down with you, but I'm glad you like it. Definitely glad.
I won't lie, it was a real struggle to get through the first couple of listens. And even, like you said about me liking Coffin Storm, would I like that? I was even this when I was thinking, is Venny like this? Like, I know you do have quite an eclectic taste when it comes to these sort of bands, but even for you, I was thinking, he's not going to get this. But the more I listened to it, and then, like I said, track six, Who's In, just really kicked me, and I get it. Look, for me, it's a 7.3. It's would I go back to it? Potentially, I'd have to be in the right frame of mind. But nonetheless, you have to respect this band for what they've done and thrown onto a canvas and what they've created. So yeah, 7.3 for me, mate. So yeah, that was Thought, and the album's Delta out on the 10th of May on Pleasure Records. And on to our final review. And this is, again, it was released on the 19th of April, Century Media Records. The band is called Faltokammer, and the album's called Weavermacht. Benny, did I do it right there?
I think you've done a great job there, mate.
Excellent. Thanks very much. So this is a band featuring. I mean, probably the standout person who you know from this band is Zach from Imperial Triumphant, the lead guitarist. It also features Andromeda Anarchia on vocals, which is a fantastic name. You might recognize her vocal style because she's actually appeared on the last three Imperial Triumphant albums. Those howling screams that really get you, that was her. And it also has Darren Hanson on guitars, Lauren David on bass, and Brendan McGowan on drums. This is their second album, and the but so they're a bit of an international band. Like Andromeda lives in Switzerland, I think, as does one of the guitarists or bassists. And then obviously they've got Zach in New York and dotted around. So they formed in about 2018, 2019. I said this is their second album after 2020's Die Lederpredigt. Now, Venny, you actually suggested this I
album.
don't think I did.
I
No, I think I put it. I definitely put the iron in the fire, and then you kindly sort of brought it back up again. So
I tried to brush it under the carpet a
you
bit,
did.
but I thought, fair's fair, you've been hit with another pelagic release, so I thought I'd.
All right, so I assume this is your first outing into the band. Mine too. So now, obviously, when the press release came out and seeing the band and who was on it, and we had to give it a go, really. And what were you thinking going into this one?
I mean, not much, I have to say. Alien Krantor front cover always a plus and doesn't necessarily tell you exactly what you're going to expect. Could be a Malevolence album or it could be an album like this. So it doesn't tell you, but it's often a good starting point. I kind of saw on the press release the lineup and the mention of operatic, so I was kind of known somewhat to what to expect. But you stick on the first track, Anno Domina, and it comes in with a pretty straightforward riff. It's not like super heavy, it's not super fast, it's pretty straightforward. It kind of lulls you into a bit of a false sense of security, and then the vocals hit, and you and then I mean, everything then goes out the window, really, because it's a very unique vocal style. I think it would be remiss of the review not to put that pretty front and center.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I mean, so it's very operatic. It is operatic. And if you've listened to any Imperial Triumphant records before, and those female vocals come in, they're very harrowing. So you might recognize it. But I mean, in metal, we have operatic vocals. I mean, the one standout would be Cradle of Filth. You know, but they're more backing vocals. I think there's another couple of bands who have those sort of I think Flesh God Apocalypse, I think they have a operatic singer in there. But and correct me if I'm wrong, mate, but I don't know of any bands that have an operatic lead singer in this.
Yeah, no, and I guess those symphonic bands, your kind of Night Witches and Epicas, they're not quite l exactly like this, are they? They kind
Yes,
of have elements of that, but yeah, no, I'd agree, and it is kind of a defining part of this music, I would say. And I mean, clearly extremely talented. I would put that out there straight off the bat. She's clearly a very talented singer, and is it operatic, but it has a certain inflection. And I mean, I have read elsewhere about Kate Bush. There is a certain element of that. And the other things this music reminds me of, which are a bit kind of left field comparators, but Roxy Music and Sparks, that kind of that might not mean too much to you, but yeah, that kind of style of those are the things that kind of evoked a little bit for me. But yeah, clearly extremely talented, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of the lyrics are in German.
Yeah, I believe
Kind of.
so.
Also, I mean, if they're from Switzerland, that kind of makes sense. And so that also adds into the mixing pot, doesn't it, of that impression you get. And certainly, like the first track, again, coming back to Anno Domina, once the vocals kick in and your mind adjusts a little bit to it, and then towards the end of that track, you've got this kind of whip coming in. And again, with the German lyrics and the whip, you're kind of thinking of Rammstein or something like that, and that kind of it almost evokes this kind of image of a like a Baroque burlesque
Yeah.
chamber kind of something or other. So yeah, it's kind of again very unique, I would say, and it definitely evokes a certain kind of imagery and everything else.
It is a very unique band, this album as well. And We haven't touched on the style of music, but it's very heavily laden in black metal, musically. And the again, like, not being around the bush, and no disrespect, but the Andromeda is clearly the star of this album, and it's very hard not to hear everything she's saying, singing. Now, whether that's done in the mix, whether they decided to put the her higher, I just think her voice is so strong naturally that she just towers over everything anyway. But she is really, oh my God, what an absolute fantastic vocal she has. And to switch from that really high operatic into those filthy, gritty, dirty, low end, not growling but like demonic, it's just absolutely brilliant. And look, I'm not taking away from the band at all, because if you actually, when you listen to the music, they have everything there in the black metal, realm, like the tremolo picking, the blast beats and everything. But I just think there's not been an album like this for a long time that I've sort of been blown away with by how they've added all these elements together, and it just works, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, I what going on to the music, yeah, there's definitely black metal elements, like you say, the tremolos, the blast beats, they come in. What I would say, the first half of the album for me starts up the musically, it's relatively slow paced, like it's not frantic tremolo picking blast beat throughout. It's good. There is elements of more kind of, again, traditional classic rock there. I slightly prefer the second half of the album, where the pace does get picked up a little bit, and I think that works a little bit better with both the style of the music and the vocals, which, as you say, are quite front and center. And yeah, I particularly like, I'm probably won't try and pronounce him, but
No,
tracks
please do.
Kus Me Dy Fusa.
Lovely.
I like that track. It's got quite a stomp to it, and again, even though the vocals are in German, you kind of can, they're pretty memorable and they stick in your mind a little bit. And then the track after that is Algolandia.
Nice.
Algolandia. And again, I just like that faster pace to it compared to some of the earlier tracks on the album. So that works a little bit better for me.
Just at this point in the review, I'd like to apologize to the band if they're listening and I was butchering the pronunciation.
I think we both are, mate.
What, sorry, Ben. Kus Mir Difusa. What do you reckon that is? If you had to place a bet on what it means,
Does kiss mean kiss? Kiss?
kiss me
Kiss
the.
my something?
Kiss my ass, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I thought you might have Google Translate or something open there to.
Yeah. Oh, we'll leave it. I think it might be it. Kiss my. I'll Google it after. We can see
We
what
can
it is.
call it, we can label the album
The
the
show.
episode show.
Yeah.
I
Well,
can have it translate as a bit of
yeah.
a risky
It is a
gamble.
risk. Yeah. We've now got it on record. So if it means something really bad, we've committed, and we've had a good 4 years of the show.
Get cancelled. Yeah, we've had a
So
good run.
we've had a good run. So what were we talking about? Sorry, before we interrupted. Oh yeah, sorry, you were saying about track five, Algolandia. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd finish, but I'd basically saying that my preference is when they do pick up that pace a little bit more, and that musically at least.
Yeah. Would this be an album for every, not everyone, I don't mean everyone, but I mean it's a very niche album, isn't it? And just to put a spin on it, like, I wouldn't be put giving this to any of our friends who come to download with us. I would be hesitant to even give it to many of the guys who come to Arctangent with us. If you were a black metal fan, you will like this. But again, don't go into the album expecting it to be full on black metal throughout. It's a wonderfully diverse album, and I think we've said it before, but the lead singer Andromeda is really steals the show on this album.
What do you make of the cover track at the track eight, Venus in Furs, a Velvet Underground cover?
Do you know, I'm not gonna lie, I haven't listened to it.
Okay, no, it was, I mean, I again, it really showcases the vocals for sure.
Right.
And again, that's why Velvet Underground, you know, that's a quite a world away from a lot of the music we would typically cover on the show, for example. But that's where those kind of comparators, I think, come in for me of like Roxy Music and Sparks and Kate Bush, those kind of things. So yeah, I don't think it was as kind of, it doesn't mean to be as random as it might sound. But yeah, again, that it's quite an interesting choice of a cover.
Right.
And yeah, no, really good, really good, really interesting.
Okay, mate. Then the only reason I didn't listen to the covers because I just like to listen to the album
Yeah,
and
no, I
be
get you. Yeah,
clouded by
100%.
something else. So it's no offense to the band. So, mate, finish us off. I'm dying to hear this.
So what we got so far, I've had 7.3, 7.9, and it's back to 7.3 for this. It's
Okay.
it is again unique. It is different. It's great to hear someone putting out something that is really quite unique and different. I think, like Thought in a certain way, you have to be in a certain mood to listen to
Yeah.
this. I think you have to go into it with a bit of an open mind. But I think once you do, and you have those repeat listens, there are those little hooks that dig into you. And yeah, I think it's yeah, really good.
Good. I'm going a flat eight on this one. I'm sure it comes as no surprise. You know, it's got pretty much everything for me in the black metal, and the vocals really just are fantastic. Currently negotiating with Andy Turner to get an interview, so hopefully we get to chat with herself at some point, which would be really interesting. But that this album was Folterkammer, and the album is Vibermacht. So that's out now, so give it a listen. And Benny, that brings an end to our show. We haven't done a three album show for a long time, have we? I'm
Oh, I'm
exhausted.
tired. I'm tired, yeah.
Yeah, a little nap now before work
Yeah.
and then back to it. Thank you, mate, for your time and spending your time with me. And until next time, we will see you then.